In New York, legions of volunteers are attending to the needs of victims of the World Trade Center attacks. Some serve lunch, some offer counseling, others take care of children. And a group of four-legged volunteers is doing what it can to ease the pain. From New York, NPR's Melissa Block reports.
A cavernous ship terminal on the Hudson River has been converted into a family assistance center for victims of the disaster. Inside, padding around on blue carpet, mingling with families and the volunteers, there is an assortment of dogs. Therapy dogs, golden retrievers, poodles, border collies, mutts. They sport red, white, and blue bandanas or little jackets that say, "Ask to pet me, I'm friendly." Held on leashes by their owners, the dogs trot by the all-day hot buffet, by the Korean and Bengali and Czech translators, by the free massage area. They walk past an array of stuffed bears donated from families in Oklahoma City, where they know something about large-scale disaster. The dogs may sniff their way into the colorful children's playroom, which is filled with stuffed animals, art supplies, checkerboards, and games. And there's an instant reaction as the dogs appear. Young children burst into grins and run over to say hello. Victims who've been staring blankly into space brighten and reach down to ruffle an ear or stroke some fur. Stressed out volunteers, like mental health worker Lauren Boucher with the Red Cross, might just find themselves rolling around on the floor with a canine.
Yeah, the dogs come by, you get the body contact, you get the, because for me, I hold the stress in my body, you know, so I will get down on the floor with the dogs and let the dog lick my face, and they have a sense of your body and the stress. I really believe that.
Mark Mohan, a truck driver for a department store across the street from the Trade Center, who temporarily lost his job, found a bit of a reprieve petting a 120-pound golden retriever named Nike.
It's a good thing to have dogs. We're in a place like this where, you know, you're kind of depressed and stuff, and it kind of brightens you up. These dogs are so easy to love. They walk around smiling.
The counselors working in the center say they've seen many cases where the dogs have provided a bridge, a way to reach someone who's shut down. Again, Lauren Boucher.
I might not have the conversation without the dog. They may be feeling so private that they are not wanting me to approach them, and I see that in their body language. But the dog, they'll lean down and pet the dog, and then that gives me an opening. Wow, isn't he soft? Isn't he great? Yeah, what a great tail. So that may provide an opening that otherwise wouldn't have been there.
Look at that. Oh, boy. 120 pounds of joy. Look
Frank
at that.
Shane saw Smile. His dog Nike connect with a three-year-old girl whose father was killed. She wouldn't talk to the mental health workers.
And all of a sudden, she saw Nike and ran out at full speed, tackled him. He went over on his tummy, and she started talking with him. And she was telling him about how much her dad loved her dog and that she would go home that night and give her dog a big hug. And then she gave Nike a big smooch on the nose.
These dogs usually work in nursing homes or rehabilitation hospitals. Now they're here tending to the victims of the September 11th attacks. Each time a boat brings family members down to view the wreckage at Ground Zero, there's a therapy dog on board the boat as well. A tragedy on the scale of the Trade Center attacks has left people without words, says Stephanie Lafarge with the ASPCA. The therapist, she says, may not have the language needed to connect. The animals reach people in ways that people can't.
I'm a psychologist, but I feel naked without my co-therapist, which is my dog, when I'm here. And it's so helpful because when I leave, I don't have to debrief. When you go home with your dog, he or she has actually seen exactly what you've seen. And it's a huge comfort.
It's been shown that touching animals helps lower blood pressure and heart rate.
Give me a hug, Jesse. Come on, boy. Come on. There you go. Okay.
With little prompting, Jesse, a sleek golden retriever, stands and puts his front paws on his owner Mario Canzanieri's shoulders. This always gets a reaction from people inside the family center.
They immediately start smiling. If they're crying, sometimes they stop crying. The other day we had somebody start crying. I said to her, gee, we're not supposed to make you cry. You're supposed to stop crying. And I walked away. I was pretty sad over that. About I guess about a half an hour, 45 minutes later, the Red Cross worker that was working with the woman came up to me. She says, "You did a great job." I said, "But I made her cry." She says, "That's just what she wanted to do. She hadn't cried since the towers come down." And I finally got the information I needed from her because she started talking to me.
The therapy dogs seem to intuitively know the people they should approach and those they should avoid. Charlie Bird owns Harry, a shaggy Great Pyrenees Retriever mix.
So I walk up to typically three women. Harry will go to one of them immediately. That woman will bend over and give him a big hug, start petting him, and the other two will stay standing straight up because they don't care for dogs. And Harry, I remember people saying when I was a kid, they'd say, you know, dogs can smell fear. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that he invariably goes to the people who want him, and he won't go to people who don't want him. So he has some kind of sense that I don't have.
At the end of the day, the dogs frolic and roughhouse outside to let off steam. The therapy dog owners say they can tell their animals are absorbing stress. Elaine Hsu is head of the group Therapet.
You know the nuances of their behavior. You might see a difference in their breathing. You might see a difference in the top line of their body. You might see a difference in how they lean against someone to receive more attention. And they're also leaning against someone to receive more emotion.
Some dogs can shake off the stress, she says, but others internalize it. Mario Canzanari sees this with his dogs, Jake and Jesse.
At night, sometimes they wind up sleeping in different places they've never slept before over the night. I will get up in the middle of the night and walk over to them and look at them. You could see that they are stressed out.
After one especially draining day, Canzanari noticed that Jesse's eyes were bloodshot. Canzanari and his friend Frank Shane will drive home with their golden retrievers at the end of the day and reflect on the day's work.
Frank, how many times you go home, you're driving home, you're by yourself, you're thinking about what you just did, and you start, tears come to your eyes.
It does.
You're thinking about what you've done for the people. You've given them something that nobody can give them. All the people in there with all the checks can't do for them. I did, the dogs did, right? They can give them all the money in the world. We can't give them their loved ones back, but we can give them just that moment of freedom, that moment of joy, that moment of relaxation. And it's only for a few moments.
A few moments of something warm and loving, says one volunteer. It may be a drop in the bucket, she says, but if you have enough, the bucket will be full. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.